Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. We're down here in Fortuna, and I'm talking to Lisa and Lawrence Hindley, and they have the Hindley Ranch and raise some grain products down there in the Mattole Valley. How did you get started in the grain business?
Well, I think Lawrence probably could tell you the best because it was kind of John Laboito approached him.
Yeah, John came and he says, why don't you try something out in Honeydew? And I said, well, yeah, we could do that. And we had this property that we'd been leasing out on our ranch, and it was not being taken care of very well, so I didn't like that, so I cleaned it all up, and then we tried growing some wheat to see if it would grow, and it did. And so basically the first year I did it with an 1890 grain binder, and we did it all by hand, and then we hauled it to town and thrashed it.
How much acreage did you have in wheat? Because you usually think of grains as being something that's grown with these huge combines in the Midwest. How much acreage did you have?
Well, the first year we only had about 3 acres.
Uh-huh.
And we had this dinosaur thing pulled by horses that we used to harvest it, you know. And then Lisa and I are out there in 90 degree weather pitching all this stuff onto a trailer to haul it to town. We had it as high as we could get it, and it was quite the adventure.
How did you learn how to do that? I mean, how did you find out about it? Because you're kind of going back in technology and finding these old methods of doing this.
Right. Well, with the Auto Expo here, we've been thrashing grain and stuff for showing people how to do it. And then Andrew Wilson and I, they grew some out in Carlotta, you know, just for us to play with at these shows. So we've been playing with it for a while. But we never thought about ever doing it on a large scale. We just thought about doing it just so people could tell what it was like, because he and I were into antique farm equipment and stuff. And so, you know, anything that was prehistoric, we were into it and working on it. So,
where did you initially get the seed that you used for some of your first crops?
John Laboito came up with the seed.
And it was Sonora.
It was Sonora.
It's still probably the closest one to my heart.
Yeah.
It's like my favorite grain, but we choose not to grow it anymore because the deer like it so well. Ooh. It doesn't have the protective little wisp that you see, like the traditional wheat has a little wisp coming off of it.
Uh-huh.
It will keep the deer from eating it because it pokes them in the nose. Sonora doesn't have that.
Oh.
So they could come in 2 weeks' time and totally decimate a field.
Yeah.
So it's my favorite grain. I love to cook with it. Some of my best recipes have come from Sonora, but we just don't grow it anymore because we're not out there 24/7 to watch over the crop.
Yeah. What varieties do you grow now, and what are kind of your favorite properties about them?
Well, we grow Hollis, and we have Glee this year, which is a hard red that we're trying. And then we have Foissy, which is a soft white that we grow.
And that seems to be a real favorite.
Yeah.
We really grow a lot of the Foissy. It's a good soft white. It's great for cookies and zucchini breads and your quick breads.
This is more tender flour for pastries and things
exactly.
like that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And you'll just not find Beck's Bakery with a lot of her pastries and stuff that she makes for farmers markets on Saturday. She'll be using that flour, that grain for her pastries.
And then the hard white wheat or hard wheat that you use that you're growing, what sorts of products is that used in?
That's used for raised breads. It's not as heavy.
When you plant, what time of year do you plant?
Oh, right around Easter.
Around
Easter time.
Usually March or so. But he's usually gone in the late fall, and now with the weather the way it's been early in the year, and he turns the ground over and tries to, I don't know what you
just
would
let
call.
It set and
let,
they
it,
let
set.
It turn it over and let all the grasses and everything that was there rot down, and that'll give us something for the plant to feed on.
So that's kind of how you maintain the soil fertility there. Do you rotate any alfalfa in or do anything like that?
No, alfalfa doesn't work because that's a second crop and we don't have irrigation.
Oh,
I tried that. That was a waste of $1,000.
Okay.
And so the ground out there is real acidic because it rains so much. We had it tested on one field we did. It was 4.5, which is the worst they'd seen. And so we add lime to it. So it takes about 1.5 to 2 tons of lime per acre to bring it up so the acidity's not so bad. So 7 is perfect.
Okay.
And then when we plant, we use organic chicken manure, and it goes right in with the seed. My grain drill is designed to put it in right with the seed, so
I'm not wasting it. And it's pelletized.
Oh, okay.
It's pelletized, so then it releases slowly and helps the plant grow.
Okay, and where do you get that?
I get it from 3G's.
The lime comes from 3G's.
The lime comes from 3G's.
Chicken manure
and chicken
comes...
I get from the Nielsen Company. So we kind of spread things around.
Okay,
you know,
that's good.
People that deal with us and stuff.
And then, so it grows all summer long. And then when do you usually harvest?
Oh, usually around the 1st of August.
Okay.
Till Labor Day. The latest we've ever done is Labor Day.
Okay.
It depends on Mother Nature.
Depends on the climate, you know, how the wet rains have gone and how warm it's been out there. Because we need it to be nice and warm. We need it to be dry and the grain to be good and hard.
Uh-huh.
So the protein will be in it. Otherwise, if the protein's not high, then it doesn't bake well.
Okay. So then you harvest it, and then when you harvest it, does the grain actually stay on the stalks, or does it fall off right away, or how do you kind of keep that together so that you can get it to the threshing stage?
Okay, well, we have a combine now. So we cut it and thresh it all in one pass.
Okay.
And then when we get it, the hopper gets full on the combine, which is a 1964 Gleaner combine. We put it into 55-gallon food-grade barrels that we get from the creamery because they use it for ice cream. They put chocolate and syrup in these things. They just give them away, and they're perfect because they got a nice, tight, sealed lid, so nothing will get into it.
So do you have to then dry out that grain at all, or is it pretty dry by that point?
No, it's dry.
Okay.
Because we can't harvest it unless it is dry.
Okay.
We bring it to town and we store it down at Red Crest at John's. We store it here at home in the barn because you want to keep it in kind of a cool climate.
Okay. And then I guess Beck's Bakery calls you up and says, we need some more down here at the bakery. And do you bring one of those 50-gallon drums
down
there?
Yeah, we bring one of the drums into her.
Nice.
But we clean it afterwards too to get out any kind of a weed or any kind of thing that's in there that's not the grain. Yeah. The harvester does a real nice job because we basically out there don't have any weeds when we plant. Everybody's really jealous about that. But
we don't have the mustard and some
no
of the
mustard
other stuff
and
that
all that
other
stuff
people fight with.
To fight with.
And
we
the
don't have
weed
anything.
And
no,
all that stuff.
Nothing. And when I go to Farmer Place, I always ask them, well, what have you done here? And they, nothing forever. And I go, you haven't brought anything from town out here? Any manure, anything like that? Horse manure?
Yeah.
Nothing from a dairy? Nope. Okay. If it's been something brought out, I won't farm it.
Yeah.
Because it's just going to be a weed patch, and I don't need that.
So then you bring it out there, and she grinds it and uses it. Is she the only customer that you have for your wheat, or do you have other customers?
No, we have other customers.
Okay.
Down in Garverville area. Joseph
Home cooking.
Joseph and Yanni down there, they buy two or three barrels from us.
And they're bakers. And
they're
then
bakers.
There's Home Cooking that uses it in their pizza dough in Redway. And then we sell it to Jacob at Humboldt Regeneration in McKinleyville, and he uses it in his beers.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
Then we just recently shipped barley to some local boys out of Honeydew and Petrolia, have a distillery in Oakland.
Oh,
and they're
nice.
Getting ready to use some of our barley in a special distilled spirits that they're making.
Oh, okay.
So it's just kind of evolved.
Yeah.
I figured it out. This is our sixth year.
And how much do you produce?
Well, this year we're going to produce a lot because we have about 30 acres that we've planted. So there's about
10 acres of wheat.
Of wheat, and then we have another 5 acres of rye and another 5 acres of barley.
That's only 20 then.
We
only have 20 acres.
And then we already did one little piece that was a winter type wheat we were trying.
Uh-huh.
So we're always experimenting to see what's going on.
Okay,
you know?
That's great. It sounds like public response to your grains has been very good.
Oh, yeah, people really like it. And the people out in the valley support it because it's kind of different. And when I get done with the field, it'll come back next year and it'll be a beautiful green field. It won't be just a dried up mess of nothing.
Yeah.
So as I'm going up the valley, I'm kind of improving the whole place, you know.
What do you think is the future of grain in Humboldt County? Do you think more people will grow it?
Well, the problem is you have to be in a hot climate. You can't do it in Ferndale. It won't work here. If you're out in Carlotta, you know, Bridgeville or something, but it's hard to find ground that's any good.
That's flat.
That's flat.
Yeah.
It's hard to do
run
a hillside.
The equipment across. Yeah.
You know, and you have to have good ground. You can't just use anything.
Right.
We learned that lesson in the second year.
The second year, we planted about 10 acres and we got 300 pounds, and it was truly pathetic.
Well, this has been a pleasure talking to you both and learning more about wheat raised in Humboldt County. So people should keep an eye out for Hindley Ranch grains in the community. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
And the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.